Like us to turn to that chapter that we read from Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 43. I want us to look at verses 8 to 13, but especially verses 10 and 11. Isaiah has been called the Gospel of the Old Testament. Isaiah is quoted in the New Testament more than any other book in the Bible. It's the largest book in the Bible, 66 chapters. Isaiah was a prophet raised up by God to speak to his people. Tradition tells us that Isaiah was sawn in two, placed in a log and cut in half. Hebrews chapter 11 speaks about those who were sawn asunder for their witness. That may be a reference to the death of Isaiah the prophet. Do you believe in God? That's a question, isn't it? Do you believe in God? Throughout the history of humanity, most people would have said yes. But to that question, do you believe in God, is often the reply, which God? Which God? And that's meant to silence the believer who asks the question, which God? But that's the wrong answer. That's the wrong answer to the question, do you believe in God? And they say, which God? But that's not what I asked. I ask, do you believe in a supreme being? Whatever he is or how many they are is not the question. It's just like somebody saying, do you believe in humanity? And somebody says, which humanity? Peter, Paul, John, Susie? That's not the question I asked. And when people say, do you believe in God? The answer isn't, which God? That's not the question that was asked. Do you believe in a supreme deity? A personal God? It doesn't matter who he is or how many there are. Because if there's no God, whatever he is like, or how many there are, then you believe in nothing. A vacuum. And nothing created everything. And nothing formed all the wonderful parts of creation. All the insects. You could start at the lowest level, couldn't you? You could take one insect, the bombardier beetle. And it is so wonderfully made. It has, we are told, two compartments in it of fluid that is explosive. And it doesn't blow itself up. It's more advanced than any scientific bomb that has ever been created. And when those two fluids are mixed together, it squirts out liquid more than 100 degrees. Even that little beetle alone needed a very intelligent designer and maker to put it together. And you can work out from that all the other insects, the 36,000 types of spiders. And everything is so wonderfully made. Unless there is some supreme being of extreme intelligence and power, then you believe in nothing. So the question, do you believe in God? The answer, which God, is no answer at all. Isaiah is going to give us a little more insight. Not just that there is a God, but what he is like. And whether he is one of many gods, or he is just one God. And we say that nothing did not create everything. I think I mentioned some time ago when preaching in the open air, I asked a man who was a little bit worse for wear, as they say, younger man with his dogs. I said, do you believe in God? He said, of course I do. I'm not stupid. This whole world didn't just come from nothing. And there's a man probably with more intelligence and common sense than some of the most so-called brightest minds on the planet. Sir Isaac Newton, where Richard Dawkins says we owe all our scientific theory to evangelical Protestants. Sir Isaac Newton believed there is a creator and there is a God. Now, Isaiah, God speaking through Isaiah, tells us there's not just a God. And we are left to wander through life searching, who is this God and what is he like? God says to his people, everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And God says to his people, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my children whom I have chosen, that he may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. And then he tells us, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. So there's a little bit of God revealing himself. He's revealed himself, hasn't he, in creation. The psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth forth his handiwork. So we know there's a God. We look around us and we see there is a God. That's why the most primitive of tribes throughout human history have said, there must be a God. There must be a creator. And they may look to the stars and to the planets and to the moon and to the sun. So-called atheism. You can ask, can't you? Much of the scorn that is poured upon Christianity and upon the gospel. And we can say, well, which universities did you form for the education of men? Which colleges did you form for the enlightenment of man's mind? Which hospitals did you make and establish? Which schools did you form to educate the young? Which care homes did you produce in society so people could be taken care of? There aren't any. There aren't any. Of course, there have been millions, hundreds of millions killed in the name of atheism, there's no God. And we'll wipe out the name of God. And we'll erase him from the picture. But they never do so. But of course, the reason why we can say there are no atheistic foundations that bettered society, because throughout human history, very, very few have been atheistic in their views. It's universal that man has believed in a supreme being. The Bible says God hath written the world in our hearts, eternity in the heart of every man. He knows there's a God. Wouldn't waste your breath trying to convince somebody there is a God. He knows there's a God. He knows there's a supreme being. Though he may not know what he's like, but he knows he's there. He knows that nothing doesn't create everything. But Isaiah, God tells us a little bit about himself. And there's a challenge that is given here, first of all. The challenge that is given. It's given to the people who worship God, or a God, but he's not the true God. He says, bring forth the blind that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. The Bible presents us that there is such a thing as truth. And the attack often has come. There's no such thing as truth. It's relative. You make it up as you go along. And it is like our society today. Well, there's no such thing as truth. You just make it up. It's my truth. It may contradict your truth. And you can have your truth that contradicts my truth. But it's all okay. It's all the same. The Bible presents us with absolute truth. There is right and there is wrong. And God declares what is right and what is wrong. And if you get to the stage where you say, I make it up, it's my truth, you will end up confused and weak and unstable and uncertain. You won't know what you are. And where you've come from, and where you're going, and what the meaning of life is. And the Bible does speak of false worship and false gods. The critics may say, well, that's your particular deity, and somebody may, well, somebody has to be right. And God has spoken in his word. And he has revealed himself to mankind. But we like to worship what is not. You see, by nature, we are idolaters. We worship everything but the true and living God. And as so many people say, I worship myself. I worship my fellow creature. And we put them up on a stage and we idolize them. And we call them, they're our idols. But they're just like you. They are feet of clay. They were born just like you. So it is foolish, isn't it? And in the Old Testament times, people worshipped false gods. But God had spoken. He has revealed himself as the one true and living God. Met the other week two ladies from America. They were from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, otherwise called Mormons. And I said to them, well, the Book of Mormon contradicts the Bible. Well, they said, oh no, the Bible confirms the Book of Mormon. Well, I said in Isaiah chapter 43, God says, I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. That contradicts Mormonism. Mormonism teaches, as man is, God once was. As God is, man may become. And we'll all become little gods, and we'll reign over our own little planet, and we'll populate it. That contradicts what God says. God says, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. That's God, one true and living God. But the devil said to our first parents, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. A man thinks himself to be such. I also am like God. And that's crept into the supposed Christian church where preachers will preach, I am God. Or I am a little God. No, they're not. The reason why idolatry was so offensive to God and God's people Israel were punished was because there isn't any other God. And if I make a God in my own image, or I live for anything other than the true and living God, I have created an idol. And there are many who came in the name of God. And it's the same today. That's why it's so important, isn't it, to stick to the Bible. What does the Bible teach? So the answer, the second part of the question that people asked, we may ask, do you believe in God? Well, they say, well, which God? Well, that's not what I asked you. The second part of the question could be, now you believe that there is a God, a supreme being. What is he like? And what's his name? And who is he? The Bible tells us about him. What he's like. His character. What he loves. What he hates. It tells us about his power. And God has revealed himself upon the pages of the Bible. And God calls witnesses. He says in verse 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And my servant whom I have chosen, that he may believe me. And understand that I am he. The people themselves are called. God's never left himself without a witness. And God has called a people, hasn't he? For his name's sake. And in the Old Testament, it was the nation of Israel. Now Christ has come. It's all those who believe in him. Not anybody else. Never mind where you're born, what flag you're under. If you're not Christ's, you're not one of his witnesses. You're not one of his children. And Jesus Christ is the servant. He is the one who will bear witness. In Isaiah 42 and verse 1, behold, my servant, whom I upheld, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And he shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. A man who has a YouTube channel was going around the streets in America and saying to people, do you believe in Jesus? And do you believe in Jesus? And everyone just, no, 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 no. Did another video, thankfully, where those who said yes were put in. But the vast majority will say no. Have you noticed in the heart of people there is an almost innate, existing within, hostility to the man Jesus Christ? And it's not found in any other person throughout history. Even if you were to take Adolf Hitler, we all say he's the man to hate, but there was a time that he was classed as the savior. And they loved him. But this man, Jesus Christ, is almost an inbuilt hatred to this man, Jesus Christ. And that's human nature. Because this man, Jesus Christ, said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And the Bible teaches that's the state of man's heart. He's not born good. The psalmist says, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. That's everybody. It's not nice to hear, is it? We don't like it. Bible says every man proclaims his own goodness. And that's what we like. We like it when people say, well done. We like it when people praise us. But we don't like the truth. The prophet Isaiah said one thing about the human heart. Describe the human heart. The most righteous thing in a man is as a filthy rag. The best deed you can perform. Even to the point of laying down your own life, selling your kidney, giving it away. In God's eyes, it's a filthy rag. We don't like that. We're like the man who goes to the doctor and he feels a few lumps, or a lady. The doctor may say, it's not good news. We don't want to hear it. We put our hands over our ears and we say, I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear. I want you to tell me all is well. But in order for you to be made well, the doctor has to say, you've got a serious problem. And unless it's treated, it will kill you. You don't like to hear that. But it's necessary. And the Bible presents us with a picture of man's heart, and it's not good. But Christ and Isaiah speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's writing 700 years before Jesus is born, but he speaks of him. He prophesies about him. He tells us about his coming into the world. Because God is going to put things right. He says, I have declared and have saved. And I have showed when there was no strange God among them. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One, redemption, to set free by the payment of a ransom is an Old Testament and New Testament word. And it speaks about what God has come. He has come to set the captives free. And that was only realized and performed by this man, Jesus Christ, who would come. And every child of God, the early church proclaimed, didn't they? Jesus said, "Ye are my witnesses." And you know, the word martyr comes from a word meaning witness. And there have been many who lay down their lives not to gain eternal life, but because they were witnesses for Christ. And that they loved him because he loved them. It's not what the Bible tells us. John tells us we love him because he first loved us. We love idols. We love gods in our own image. But God has spoken. And he says there is one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4. So there is only one God. And he has spoken. And he's either a liar or he is speaking truth. He's either a liar or he is speaking truth. And it all climaxes in this person, Jesus Christ. He was either speaking truth. And it all comes back down to that man. Who is Jesus Christ? Some say he's a good man. A bit like Gandhi. A good religious leader. And that's all he was. He was a man who lived 2,000 years ago, was executed for his beliefs. And that's it. That's what I sum up about this man, Jesus. I don't believe in God, but yeah, Jesus was a good man. And he lived. There's no doubt that he lived. Historical records, archaeological discoveries. Who was he? Oh, he was a good man. If he was a good man, then what he said was good. If he was a good man, then what he said was truth. What he claimed, if he is a good man, was true. If what he claimed wasn't true, then he was a madman. Or an imposter. A liar, a deceiver. So he wasn't good. What did he claim? He claimed, didn't he, to be the I Am of the Old Testament. You remember Moses? And when Moses came before God one day, fear and trepidation, and God, Moses says to God, "Well, who are you?" Because people are about to ask, and they're about to say, "What's your God's name? You're representing him, aren't you? Well, who is he?" And Moses says, as understandably so, "Well, what's your name?" When they quiz me and say, "What's the name of this God?" What shall I say? God answers Moses with these words to his inquisitive question. "What's your name? Who are you? What shall I say to them?" God answers the question in these words. After Moses says, Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? You ready for the answer? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am. God is self-existent. And the Jews love that. They love that. They knew who God was, the great I am. And the Lord Jesus came into the world and mixed amongst his fellow Jewish people. And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Not I was, or I used to be. I am. And the Jews knew. They had just heard a man speak the greatest form of blasphemy. By claiming to be the I Am of Exodus 3:14. Remember, the Jews believed in the Shema. The Lord our God is one Lord. And how did the Jews respond to Jesus claiming to be I Am? They believed in the Levitical law, didn't they? And in John 8:59, then took they up stones to cast at him. They wanted to stone this man, Jesus Christ. Why? Because he claimed to be the I Am. Now Jesus was either mad, like we'd say today when we met somebody. And he says, I'm Napoleon. You'd say, you're a bit mad. You're not Napoleon. And even worse, when people come along and say, I'm God. And people have done that, haven't they? Some people, some dictators have had so much power given to them that they've thought themselves to be God. They believe their own press. And then they drop down dead. But this man Jesus claimed to be the I Am. And you'll notice in Jesus' ministry, he raised people from the dead. He forgave people their sins. He performed miracles. He calmed the storm and the seas. He just spoke a word to the storms. Be still. And the waves obeyed him. Said to the dead, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. So this man, Jesus Christ, he claimed to be God. He demonstrated himself to be God. And we have many, many, many witnesses to what God has done. And the Bible teaches us that God became a man. in verse 11. I, even I, am the Lord. And beside me there is no Saviour. You see, salvation originates with God alone. And one of the things people fear more than anything is dying. Is dying. The young person is never afraid of dying because he doesn't think he's ever going to die. Or he thinks, I've loads of time. I'll worry about it when I get older. Man naturally fears death. Now they say, I don't fear death. They're putting it on. Everybody fears death. When the doctor says you've only 2 months to live, you're not going to throw a party. You're not going to come out of the room leaping. You're going to think, oh dear, I don't have long to go. Man went to see his doctor. And his doctor said to him, told him the condition and said, only a certain amount of time left to live. To which the man sunk his head and thought, oh, I suppose I'm going to meet God then. She said, yes. She said, well, I better find out and get to know him, hadn't I? The doctor was a Christian. She said, yes. And she invited him to her church. And he heard more about the gospel and about Jesus Christ. And wonderfully trusted in him. And was ready to meet his Maker. You know, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. The only one who can give you peace in the midst of death is this man, Jesus Christ. It's not lying on your deathbed and thinking, well, I've been quite a good person. Maybe God will look favorably upon me. I've never murdered anybody. I was kind to my neighbor who played his music all hours of the morning. I tried my best. But you know your best isn't good enough. You know you've lied. You've said things that were not true, and you knew it wasn't true. And the Bible says, liars, all liars, will have their part in the lake of fire. James, our Lord's half-brother, he writes his epistle in the New Testament. And James says, whosoever shall keep the whole law, whosoever shall keep the whole law of God and yet break one point is guilty of all. That's a serious condition, isn't it? If you've broken one commandment, you may as well have broken them all. But Christ has come, he's described here, isn't he? Beside me there is no Saviour. Because what's the salvation? What's the saving? You know, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? You're being saved from God. That's what you're being saved from. You're being saved from God. The Bible says God is a consuming fire. You're being saved from him. And the only one who can save you from God is God. That's why God became a man. It's to save you from himself. God provided one Savior to take his wrath. There is none that can deliver out of my hand, says God. Salvation originates with God. Only God can save a sinner. And the devil is trying to stop it. The Bible says, the devil goes round as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says, the devil is the god of this world. And he holds people in blindness. Doesn't want them to believe. Wants to keep patting them on the head and saying, you're doing very well. The Bible says there's wrath. We don't like to hear about it. Preachers don't seem to like to preach about it. Well, that's why the world's the way it is. It's God's judgment. Is on the world. We don't like to see it. But that judgment is only temporary. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul talks about creation groaning and being burdened. And we see creation and we see animals eating other animals. We see pain and suffering and drought and famine and earthquakes and floods. But the Bible says that's like a picture of the earth. It's like a woman giving birth. And she may have lots of pain and lots of difficulty and a difficult labor. But then it goes. The pain subsides and a new baby is born. And when they hand the baby to the mother, she forgets all the pain she'd gone through. And she holds new life. And that's like the world. It's laboring in pain. But God says there's coming a day when it'll be delivered into a perfect world. And who'll live in that world? Be all the animals that ever lived, all the insects, everything will be resurrected and it'll live in a new paradise, a new earth, surrounded by a new heaven. What about people? Will they be there? Those who are saved? Yes. They'll be there. Bible speaks, doesn't it, about resurrection. That's a great theme. Resurrection. The Christian weeps at the graveside of a fellow loved believer. But even in their weeping and sorrow, they know. I don't weep as somebody who has no hope. Because I've got a hope. That tells me there'll be a resurrection. That tells me to be with Christ is far better. And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And God offers salvation. But it's only through a person. Beside me, there is no Savior. False religion And there are lots of them. False cults and isms, and there are lots of them, will say, follow us. But it leads to death. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, follow me. Trust in me. Hope in me. And I'll get you in. Nobody will hinder. Nobody will hold it back. And God offers you this morning a way to escape his wrath. You can't make up for sinful pasts. Say it to a judge. You've killed someone. And you go to the judge and he say, but I'm sorry. I promise for the rest of my life I will be a model citizen. I'll be a model prisoner. I'll transform my character. If he's a proper judge, that'll make no difference at all upon him passing sentence. He says you're guilty. And by the law of the land, and by the law books, I pronounce you guilty. And then secondly, I have to impose a sentence. Now you have been found guilty. There's no escaping it. And God says that to all sinners, guilty. But he says, there is a way of escape. There is a way to clean up all your past. Let me take the punishment. Let me pay the price. And I will let you go. And that's why Jesus died and rose from the grave. He came, paid the price, satisfies the wrath of God, and says, all is forgiven. And that's how the Christian can say. And the Apostle Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. But you need to call. You need to trust. You need to cry out like the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? You know what the answer was? Believe, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Put away all your good works, all your efforts, all your religion and come to Christ and say, Lord, I have nothing. Save me. I trust in you. My hope is in you. And then God, when you come to die, will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the one true and living God that thou hast indeed spoken. We pray that thou hast helped us to lean upon thee, that thou art our only hope, our only means of salvation. Give us faith to believe, for in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us sing together 458, 458. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. 458.